Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the WDW Review podcast. If you're looking for custom, comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears, check out our designs or send us a message at magicalmaradesigns.com.
Welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Black Jr. Michael, how are you?
Fantastic. You said to put your full name.
I did, and you did. You put the junior in there, so very good. We are also joined by a good friend and a EDCOT community member, Jesse Fouts. Jesse, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good. Jesse, I didn't want to say it wrong, but yesterday, you gave a really cool presentation in your Facebook group, and I want you to talk about it. But before I go and tell everybody that you're a travel agent, specifically, I've researched it. Where are you an agent from?
I am an agent from North Carolina. I reside in Burlington, North Carolina, which is just outside of the Greensboro area. I'm about an hour outside of Raleigh-Durham. The Piedmont Triad, for those of you who are familiar with North Carolina.
Okay, and your agency, Jesse?
I'm with Marvelous Mouse Travels. Marvelous Mouse Travels was an agency that formed out of Charlotte, just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
A really cool story. The agency owner, Carrie Dillon, was a special education teacher, and she was a single mother raising two children, working as a teacher, and had a love for Disney and decided to try to make money doing that. And in just under 6 years, now she has an agency with me and about 180 other travel agents, which is really cool. So,
isn't that always like the case where like you start, and this is going to sound almost disrespectful, you start the side hustle out of passion. And like, I just want to do that and enjoy myself. And before you know it, it takes up a little more time, And that becomes, you know, just part of who you are. And she's making a living out of it. That's awesome. Great story.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's neat.
So you have a Facebook group. And the reason really why you're joining us today was I was tuning in yesterday. We have a show coming out. Michael, myself, Stacy, Peter are going to be doing a show for a long weekend at Walt Disney World, visiting no parks. So I'm doing a little bit of research, and I stumbled upon your presentation yesterday, and it was simply about the Disney dining plan. And I was like, and this is like a Disney veteran and like a Disney ignorant dude like I am, like, yeah. I'm never going to use a Disney dining plan. I've never used it. I have no interest in it. And I got a family of five, four adults now, because my kids are teenagers, and a 7-year-old that eats like an adult. And I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to, it's expensive. It's like $240 for me to go and price that out. I've seen the cost. It's crazy. So I'm hanging out and I see your first slide, or maybe it's like your third slide that you have prepared on just an average day using the Disney dining plan. And I'm looking at your math, and then all of a sudden, like a light bulb kicks on and be like, holy cow, why didn't I ever think about it that way?
Right.
And at the end of it, I'm looking, and I want you to show it because we're on YouTube right now as well as the audio podcast.
Sure.
This didn't even include 4 snack credits, and like it was substantially farther ahead. And Jesse, I'll be honest, the reason why I've never done it is there's a term, it's called pescatarian, but I haven't had chicken, beef, pork, I haven't had meat in 15 years. So we eat fish. And I'm like, when you go to Walt Disney World, what do they serve everywhere? You know, except for Cape May, what do they serve? It's like this giant hunk of meat and roasts. And I'm like, I'm paying for something I'm never going to eat, right?
Right.
Until I see your slide yesterday. And I'm like, why have I never thought about that for the cost of that one dinner? Like, it paid for the entire day. Like, and like, I'm thinking to myself, damn, that's a lot of trips I've missed, you know, taking advantage of this scenario. So You know, without any delay, let's get right into it, all right? Let me go in and share a screen here. Here we go. So through the magic of video, we're going to share a screen. You want to start off with your first thing? Let's just talk about what the dining plan actually is, all right, buddy?
Sure. So the Disney dining plan, it's Disney offers four different dining plans for our guests to choose from. But the in my example here, the Disney dining plan is it's really catered to give you a variety of options. So, for instance, you're going to get one quick service meal credit with the Disney dining plan, one table service dining credit with the dining plan, and two snack credits. And the idea, you know, with the Disney dining plan is that you're prepaying these credits so that you can go into Walt Disney World, and whether you're at the resorts or at the parks or at Disney Springs, you can redeem those credits for meals. And it takes a lot of guesswork out of it. And I'm not sure, you know, if you're like me, when we go out to the family dinner, sometimes I shy away from that prime rib or, even steak and go for a burger because I'm looking at price point on the menu. And really what the dining plan does is it eliminates that factor by allowing you to prepay into it so that you don't have to go in and look at the menu and say, okay, well, I was going to get this, but this is cheaper. So that is, some of the beauty behind the Disney dining plan.
Okay. Let's talk parameters first. Michael, you are a Florida resident. Mm-hmm. Jesse, he has an annual pass and he's not staying on property. Is he eligible for a dining plan?
No, you have to be staying at a Walt Disney World resort. So it has to be one that is ran and owned by Walt Disney World. It can't be a Good Neighbor hotel like the Swan and Dolphin. It has to be an actual Walt Disney World resort hotel in order to participate in the Disney dining plan.
Okay. I'm a DVC member. Am I eligible for the dining plan?
Yes, you are. In fact, with DVC members, because I, too, am a DVC member, I own at the Polynesian Resort. But one of the great things is not only can you participate in the dining plan, you actually get a little bit of a discount on the Disney dining plan. So just keep that in mind.
Okay. And then let's talk about things like, you know, I see often like free dining included in like theme park tickets. They sometimes are on promotions, but are all dining plans the same? I know there's different options. I mean, like if you're like a foodie, you could legitimately gorge yourself on two buffets per day, you know, and whatnot.
Right.
So like what's like the what's the basic entry model and what's the fully loaded model, so to speak, you know?
So there is literally a dining plan that fits just about all types as far as how much you want to eat, what type of restaurant you want to eat at. Do you want to do dinner shows like Hoop Dee Doo Review or the Spirit of Aloha Luau at the Polynesian Resort? So the entry-level Disney dining plan is the quick service dining plan. And this dining plan is basically what it sounds like. It is a quick service only dining plan. So you get two quick service credits per person per day, two snack credits per person per day, and you also get the refillable resort mug for the entire length of your stay. And just like with any Disney dining plan, one thing that I would mention is when you do buy the Disney dining plan, you are buying it for the length of your reservation and for everybody in the room on the reservation. You don't have a choice on that. So if you are going as a family of five, you couldn't just purchase it for two people and share off of that. It is per reservation. Now, I will give you a little bit of an insider tip. One thing that our family does do sometimes is we will do split stays. And if you're not familiar with the term of split stay, you can basically just break up your reservation to stay either at different resorts or under a different reservation promotion. So last summer when we visited Walt Disney World, we stayed at the All-Star Movies Resort for two nights before moving to a different resort. And we bought the Disney dining plan. We actually bought the deluxe dining plan for our two-night stay at the All-Star Movies Resort. And we use those credits into the third day because when you check in with your Disney dining plan, you have full access to all your credits and they don't expire until midnight of the day you check out. So even though we had moved over to a different resort, we were still able to use our Disney dining plan to that
hang on, let me think about this. If I were to go and use the dining plan, I'd want to go and use it at the earlier part of the trip, because it always seems like people are talking about how many snack credits they have, and they're importing like 17 Mickey Crispy treats to come back home. You could take care of your snacks for the rest of the trip, correct? As opposed to the back end of that. Okay, makes sense.
Yes, definitely. And one of the things that a lot of people don't know, what's considered a snack at Walt Disney World, snacks range. There's thousands of different types of snacks. It could be a side dish at a restaurant, all the way over to, now this is one of my favorite things, the bagged candy in the gift shop at your resort. It's the bag Goofy's candy. And I don't know if you've ever had them, but I love the Goofy's candy gummy bears. They are really, really good. And I know that's not the type of gummy bears that is referenced here in Edcot a lot, but they're among my favorite. Yeah. I won't say they are the best.
Jesse, gummies are gummies are gummies when you're on vacation. It's all good. When you get your hands on gummies, it's still good gummies. You know, you make do with what you got.
Yes.
So another thing is, and in no way are we condoning this, but you have your drink cup. What is that cost of the drink cup now? It's about $20, or what is the cost if you were to buy it right
now? Yes. So right now, and if you give me a second, I'll tell you exactly. The cost of the mug has recently went up, and it's right now it's actually right at $19.99, so $20.
Okay.
So you do get that. And that's something I didn't even factor into my savings calculator when I did it. I kind of left that separate. And the reason being is because some people legitimately don't drink soda at all. And they might just get coffee, but even with coffee, it's worth it. But I try to take that out to say, okay, I'm not even giving you all the savings you're getting, because you are getting that.
Yeah. So for those 3 days, you have a refillable drink cup for coffee, for Gold Peak iced tea in 4 delicious varieties, and all the soda pop you can drink, and tea. And then for whatever split stay, now that cup has been deactivated, but it still holds liquid at that point, you know? So if you want to get yourself ice water or something along those lines, that cup still exists in your hand. So it still has value, you know, and it still belongs to you during the rest of that trip.
Just wonderful to add something on there, if I'm remembering correctly, now I could be wrong, the technology could have caught up, but as I remember, a stay was 14 days. So if I was to buy as a local, I could buy one of those mugs for $20, and I have 2 weeks to use that mug. So if you get that, does it deactivate, or is that for the full stay? Which a full stay, from what I remember as working at a quick service, was programmed 14 days.
That's a good point.
You are correct. So just to give you another example of this, so even in my most recent visit to Walt Disney World, when we actually did, we do a lot of split stays. I bought the dining plan for the 2 days that I was there, and then we switched over for 3 nights. But I had my mug to use even though I switched over into a new resort. My stay on my reservation ended for the 2 days, but my mug was still good through the rest of my trip because, like you said, it is good for those 14 days. So that is another reason why, like, if you want to sample the dining plan and you want to split it out and not do it over the course of, say, a 7-day trip, you know, that's a good way to get that, because you do have that mug for the rest of your trip.
Michael, I was trying to go all politically correct on it, and you just threw it right out there, and Jesse was like, Michael, you were right. So
It's programmed that way. It's not like I'm gaining the system. They pretty much say length of stay is for that time period. And I know they're being, you know, probably for those people who stay 2 weeks at a time. That seems like a standard, you know. You're not getting very many people longer than that. So that way Disney can cover people and know that they're covered their full length of their stay. Even if it is just 2 days, it's all right. I'm sure Disney's okay with giving them the other 12.
Michael, now you took away all the fun. I prefer to think I'm like this rebel rogue going in there stealing my Gold Peak iced tea. And now you've taken my fun away, because now it's all supposed to be okay. Anyways, So this is the quick service dining plan. Now, based on the example that I saw from you, you know, this is the one that I was most like, oh, this is the one that would work for my family. But it wasn't until I saw your math that I realized, at least for how we eat, this one might break even. It doesn't make, it doesn't save me the money as much as like the next one, the table service one.
Sure.
Because it's that meal at the nighttime that really is the one that's like ka-ching, you know? So let's talk about that one, the Disney dining plan.
Sure. So this is my favorite dining plan. And I know that, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but you know, there is a new dining plan that was just unveiled, but this is my favorite of the dining plans because like I said, it's variety. So you've got the one quick service, you've got the one table service and the two snack credits. So what you're able to do is, you know, like, cause I know when I visit, I don't want to spend a lot of time sitting down at meals in the park because I want to be actually enjoying the parks. But that's not to say that we couldn't visit and do resort only and then enjoy sit down restaurants at the resorts and actually yes. at Disney Springs. But this one's great because I think in my experience, I think for the money you're paying for the dining plan, this gives you the best value because of what it gives you. So, if, for instance, you see the cost of the Disney dining plan is $78 per adult per day and $30.50 per child ages 3 to 9. And most of the places you're going to see where a child eats at a character meal, that cost of their meal alone is going to be the cost of what you're paying for the Disney dining plan for them. So
yeah,
that's something to keep in mind.
That's what I caught in this. So, but even looking at the amount of food you have, so looking at the camera right now, I got some big boys here on the screen, you know what I mean? And I'm including myself in there. And you're like, okay, but like maybe that's not enough food. I could assure you on vacation, even if you did the day in the exact opposite, if you started your day off with a Chef Mickey's type breakfast, and it's not as much as a Chef Mickey's dinner, but even a Chef Mickey's breakfast, and you really ate a good healthy breakfast, you would be full all the way clearly up to and past lunchtime. If you ate at 8 or 9 o'clock, there's no way you're standing in line at 12 o'clock that you're hungry. If you did, then you ate a bad breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
A big buffet yeah. gets you easily to a quick service later in the afternoon, which easily gets you to your snack or, you know, vice versa at that point. There's a lot of food at this point, to, you know, and at $78, you're right. What would Chef Mickey's cost me? Let's go through some buffets just for costs. Chef Mickey's adult dinner. How much does that cost per person?
So Chef Mickey's adult dinner is going to be $60 per person for ages 10 plus. So not just adult. Keep that in mind for ages 10 plus.
Gotcha. $60. And let's go through a few more.
Sure.
How about Cape May? What is Cape May cost?
Cape May right now is $55 per adult.
Is that generally the cost between 50 and 60, Jesse, somewhere around there for dinner?
Right. It ranges. And what you'll see, too, is some of the restaurants will have peak pricing. So, for instance, I know, you know, it can fluctuate through the year. So, like, during this time of year, spring break time, you might see a higher price, but whereas in later in the summer, you might see it come down $5 per adult.
Disney Dining Plan isn't on peak pricing. It's stable.
No, Disney Dining. Right, correct. The cost of the restaurant changes. Disney Dining Plan only changes usually once a year, and they announce it later in the fall for what, you know, the next year's pricing is going to be. So it's possible in the fall we might see a price increase on the Disney Dining Plan.
Gotcha. On your slide, though, you mentioned dinner here. So you're eating dinner mm-hmm. at Chef Mickey's, and I saw you had some drinks on there. So
I did.
Okay, let's talk about that.
So this is another great thing about the Disney Dining Plan, and this just changed a couple years ago. So we're only about 2 years into this, but Disney decided to add alcohol or premium beverages to the Disney Dining Plan. It used to be when you did the Disney Dining Plan, there were only certain select drinks that you could get. Alcohol was not included. It was soda, coffee, that type of thing, and pog juice at the Polynesian, mm-hmm. A milkshake at the Whispering Canyon Cafe at Wilderness Lodge. But here, just a couple of years ago, they decided to add alcohol to this, which, in my opinion, added more value to the Disney Dining Plan. Because for those of us that like to, you know, take on the occasional libation at dinner or especially on vacation, this is a great thing. You know, I love getting a Lapu Lapu at Polynesian.
Yeah.
One thing I would point out about the alcohol on the Disney Dining Plan, though, is if you do go somewhere where they have like a signature drink that is served in a special type of cup, a souvenir cup, that is not included. Or the Lapu Lapu I was just mentioning, which I love to get at the Polynesian, either at the Tambu Lounge or at my dinner at the Ohana. If you do it on the dining plan, they're going to serve it in a cup and not a pineapple.
Gotcha.
So do you can keep that in mind. If the pineapple is not going to deter you, you can still buy the Lapu Lapu, but that is something to think about. If you're not a drinker, if you do not like alcoholic beverages, there are premium beverage offerings on every menu. You're going to see that they're going anywhere they serve the alcohol, they're going to have things like special lemonade, frozen lemonade, kids' special juices that are mixed with Sportsberry, Powerade, and Sprite, whatever you can think of that you might not drink as a parent, but your kid will die for. I mentioned earlier, milkshakes are popular at some of the restaurants, for instance, over at the Sci-Fi Dine in Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
They serve milkshakes, so you can get those on the dining plan. And I think it's a great deal. In my example, just pulling this up again, I had pointed out that I was going to eat at Chef Mickey's for dinner, and I was going to take in two of the Bay Lake Sunrise drinks because that's their what they call it. And if you're curious as to what a Bay Lake Sunrise drink is, I got that right here. It is.
Don't kid us. You know what it is without even looking it up, Jesse.
I know it's tequila. It has tequila in it for sure, and orange juice. But it has something else in it, and I can't remember off the top of my head what this is.
But looking at your pricing, it looks like it's about $12 or so per drink. So you figure your $12 on top of your $60 price for the buffet, and you're looking at $72. Mm-hmm. And this is what really caught me, because like I'm not really a big drinker, but if I wanted to have a beer instead, if I just wanted to have something like a Stella or something that was you know, a more upscale beer, I'm still looking at $6, $8, maybe $9 Disney pricing for that beer. I'm looking at $68. Sure. For a $78 price. I didn't even eat my lunch yet. I didn't even eat my snacks yet, and I got two snacks, and I didn't even like have any drink refills. This like one day example, this one paper that you have right here, I was like, why did I never think about that? And then I'm like, okay, so on vacation, I really don't eat a buffet every day. But theoretically, if you're there for 7 days and you do a split stay, you may only do this 2 or 3 days. That's okay. You can indulge yourself. If you do this every day, I can assure you, you better have some Pepto with you if you eat this well every day, you know, or some Milk of Mylanta.
Yep.
But
yeah,
like this.
I don't know. We've done them where it's, I like to plan. Like, that's why I think I enjoyed the cruise so much. We like to plan,
yes,
one part of the day to just kind of sit down, relax, enjoy a good meal. Another thing that it does is it gives you a time frame. So it says, you know that you're going to, especially on the cruise, you know at X
True.
Time you're stopping, you are ready, you're going to sit down and eat and enjoy that meal. That's what I love about the dining plan. I love the fact that it yeah. gives you something to plan, it gives you something to look forward to. And then the biggest thing for me is that you don't have that sticker shock when you do sit down. That's what I would need yep. the Pepto for.
Yeah.
Is when I looked at the menu and I tried to figure out what I'm going to order, and I'm looking at the prices. Well, this eliminates that. I've already paid for it ahead of time. A lot of people say, well, you're not getting this or that, you're just prepaying. Well, yeah, I am. And that has value to me in that, even if it didn't save me any money on the back end, it has value in the fact that I can enjoy my vacation and not have to worry Great about
point. Yeah.
the price going forward. So I think that's another perk right. of the dining plan that's right. not even factored in financially.
You guys are so much Absolutely. More civilized than me. See, when you tell me I've got one buffet on the menu for that day, I'm like, I like default to like dumb caveman mode, and I'm like, I've got to consume food. Like, I'm never going to eat again. So like that breakfast, yeah. that's ridiculous. Like, who needs like 4 plates of food? But like, if you tell me that's my big meal, I'm going to consume like 6 Mickey waffles. Like who in their right sure. mind consumes 6 me, you know? And I always equate, like, since I'm always paying cash and I've never bought the dining plan, I always equate like value with like the level of like mobility after the like, I didn't get my value worth because I could still move well, you know? So I got to get out of that mindset going
yep,
forward.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
It, So much strategy there. And I would like to tack on a point to that, you know, with the whole idea of, you know, not having to worry about planning, you know, like, or on the fly, where am I going to eat? You know, by doing the Disney dining plan, it gives you that incentive that to plan ahead of time so that you're maximizing your time while you are in the parks. So like, instead of just saying, okay, well, we got to fly, most Walt Disney World restaurants that you sit down at, you can't walk up and get a table. I'm not saying that you can't get a table everywhere. I'm just saying most places. For instance, when we were there in December, we decided we would just try to do a walk up at Liberty Tree, and they had nothing. And mm-hmm. they said, sorry, you know, we can't do it. So, you know, if you get there and you're like, man, I really want to eat there, and you don't plan ahead, you know, those are things that, you know, incentivizes doing the Disney dining plan. But, you know, for the value of your table credits, you know, and you can stretch them out. And especially if you're looking at this and saying, wow, this is a lot of food. My example, that is a pretty nice portion of food for the day. And in this example, I would spread my breakfast, my lunch, and my dinner out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it one of the things that you can do with this, and, you know, is – mine's a one-day example, but you don't have to use – credits are not relegated to a day. For instance, in this example, if I was staying multiple days, I don't have to use all these credits within a day or they expire. They don't. They're not going to expire until midnight I check out. So if I wanted to eat heavy this day and then the next day I wanted to go ahead and eat just a quick service meal, I could do that. And then on the next day, I could do I could take the table service credit that I didn't use on that day and roll it over and do something like the Hoop-Dee-Doo musical review that's two table service credits.
Gotcha.
Because I've saved that out. So you do have flexibility in being able to maximize those quick service credits or snack credits even, because you'll see snack credits for some food items, you know, they're like miniature meals, and you could use a couple credits and make a meal off of that. In my example here, I was using the Magic Kingdom for Gaston's Tavern. Those cinnamon rolls are huge, mm-hmm. and we usually split them, you know, but go over to Animal Kingdom, Flame Tree Barbecue. You can get barbecue cheese fries as a snack. And I'm telling you, it's filling. It really is. You know, but that's just one example of places that you can go and use that.
Gotcha. Even before we go up to the next step of the dining plan, you know, looking at a list here from All Ears, the buffets that I go to historically aren't in the parks. I mean, I've been to Crystal Palace, but like you know, when you're on the clock, you know, so to speak, and you realize the cost of that day in the park, you're like, okay, I don't know if I want to spend an hour and a half in a restaurant because that's a very expensive hour and a half. I want to be in the park experiencing the parks. And as I look at this list here, a lot of the buffets I go to, maybe even some of the best buffets, they're located outside of the parks. They're in the resorts.
Sure.
You know, so in that park-free weekend that, like, I'm researching here, you know, you've got 1900 Park Fair in the Grand Floridian. You've got Boma in the Animal Kingdom Lodge, Cape May Cafe in the Beach Club, Chef Mickey's in the Contemporary. That's just a few of them, you know, and those are, like, some of the best they've got. If you want it a little more rustic, you know, you're going to head over to Trails End. Trails End breakfast is relatively inexpensive, but it's a great breakfast.
Fantastic.
So, you know, even if you're not doing parks, still, I don't know why I never thought of it. But let's just say you're a really healthy eater. What's the next step up in the dining plan? Or let's say you really wanted to plan the shows like Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Sure. So the next step up in the Disney dining plan, and this, like I was saying, this was just added and I apologize, my camera just came on. So in the Disney Dining Plan is the new Disney Dining Plan Plus.
Okay.
And this just unveiled back in February. This is just, again, it's a step in between the Deluxe and the Disney Dining Plan. You're going to get two meal credits. And I say meal credits because they're not classified as either table service or quick service. They're any use. So if you want to use these credits, you can use them at both quick service or table service. So you get two of these credits and you get two snack credits and a refillable resort mug. And you're paying about just a little over $16 more to step up to this plan. Now, the reason I, you know, am excited for this plan for some reason, for example, is you can take, if you're the type of family that wants to enjoy a character breakfast every day, and you're not going to fill up to the brim when you hit that buffet line, but you still want to do a good dinner at night, you could do that. You could skip the quick service meal altogether. This gives you a meal credit in the morning and a meal credit in the evening. Or if you want to do, say, signature dinners throughout the stay, you have those two meal credits. So you could do the Aloha, Spirit Aloha Luau one night. You could do Hoopty Doo Review one night. You could go to California Grill and have a really nice dinner and watch the fireworks. This is going to give you that that freedom to kind of spread the credits out. Even though you're getting two of these meal credits per day, I'm not saying that you can't still use the meal credits for a quick service here and there, especially if you're going to be there over 5 days.
Gotcha.
You might not want to do, you know, a signature or a table service every day. But this gives you a little more flexibility, and the cost is not that more significant in order to get to that level of having, you know, the signature experiences.
Well, let's talk dollars and cents, dude. What about the Aloha Dinner Show or Hoop-Dee-Doo? What does that cost per adult? Just throwing that right against the $94.60. You tell me I'm going to pay $95. What would I immediately get back on those?
So I'll be honest with you. When you do, we've always looked at the dinner shows and in terms of trying to justify whether or not to use two table service credits to eat at these restaurants. It's always been hard for us personally because per dollar, I don't think you're going to get the dollar amount value. You're getting the experience value out of this. So when you do the dinner shows like Hoop-Dee-Doo or the Spirit of Aloha, you're not going to be able to do tier one seating when you do the Disney dining plan. And you'll see that the pricing is broken out by tier seating at Hoop-Dee-Doo at the Spirit of Aloha show.
Okay.
They still have Mickey's Backyard Barbecue too. That's over at Fort Wilderness as well. But just to give you an idea on Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, you're looking at and don't quote me on this. Last time I looked, I think it's about $70 for the tier two and three seating for adults. So it's around $70 to $75 per person per adult for that seating. So if you look at that and go back to, say, that Chef Mickey's buffet, it's $60 for one table service credit. If I did two table service credit or two character meals at $60 a pop, that's $120 value out of my two table service credits, whereas I'm only getting a $75 value out of my dinner show credit.
Gotcha.
So if you look at it like that, however, again, if you want to experience these shows here and there, but you want to, you know, also, you know, do those table service credits, this is a great plan for that, because I could easily use two. I could, you know, let's say that we get there later in the day. Our flight down to Walt Disney World doesn't land till 3. We get off the Magical Express. We get to our resort by 5:30. But we've planned Hoop-Dee-Doo dinner that night because it'd be great to go over to Hoop-Dee-Doo on a day that we're not going to be taken away from the parks, so that we do that night. Well, I've got my two table service credits allotted for that day on this Disney dining plan. Plus, I can go do that dinner show that night. Then the next day, I start using my table service credits for character breakfast. And then that night, I'm going to go to Ohana. So you're spreading your credits out, you know, and in that case, it would make financial sense to do this dining plan versus doing an out of pocket on the Hoop-Dee-Doo dinner show. So just throwing that out there.
Makes perfect sense. And that first night, you also are now carrying over your two snack credits. So on the very next day, you now are sitting with four snack credits. So, I mean, you could certainly load up with a bunch of snacks, you know, at this point.
Yep.
And I remembered Hoop-Dee-Doo served beer as part of the meal, but I didn't know if it served, and I might be wrong, correct me, because I thought that was the first place that I knew served the youngling, you know, on part of the meal. But if you wanted something upscale that was out of pocket, is that right, or am I completely mistaken there?
So let me be honest with you. I've only ever had the beer at Hoop Dee Doo. So I'm not entirely 100% sure on that.
Okay.
But one thing I will tell you about that, though, is, a side point, the alcohol in the dining plan, you're only getting one alcoholic beverage at most of the sit-down restaurants. You're not getting refills on alcoholic beverage. Whereas you go to Hoop Dee Doo, and I don't know if this was the case for you, Chris, but when we went, we've got a pitcher of beer. And if we, between the table finished it, they brought another pitcher of Yuengling.
Gotcha. So,
they do refill the beer, which is nice.
Gotcha.
That's, again, you could look at it in a value wise there and do the out of pocket cost annually.
Okay, that makes sense. Even if you didn't have the extra alcohol cost, you're really only looking then at about $20 in terms of cost for the entertainment value of the show. Is at the end of the day is what it comes down to as well for something like that. And we have a show coming out later on where we talk about like our things that we've never experienced that would surprise people at Disney. But as far as like Hoop Dee Doo, how long is that show? And then you think about what the cost of like going to like Broadway or like a theatrical production in your town. Is it worth $20? Probably. Going to see a movie is worth about $14 nowadays anyways, And so, you think about it along those lines.
It's fun. It's a fun thing to do, and something, whereas maybe you wouldn't have given yourself permission to do out of pocket if you're on the dining plan. You can say, okay, I'm going to do that. So it just adds that value to your trip to Walt Disney World. It's giving you something extra special to do with your family. I definitely recommend, looking at those shows and actually taking advantage of using your dining plan credits if you can spread them out. And there's a lot of strategies out there on how to maximize the value of your meal credits. I use spreadsheets. I'm a huge Excel nerd. I like to do cost comparison, which is what led me to this sheet that you see. But one of the things I did, you made a good point about those snack credits carrying over. In my example here, and I didn't point this out last night, and I wanted to point it out today. In my example here, if you read my note at the bottom, in my example here, the family would still have 4 snack credits to use. And if you take the average cost of a snack at Walt Disney World, it being $5, that's $20 more right there in value that you have with that.
Great point.
So, I definitely like to have some strategy behind the dining plan here. So,
okay, a couple of things we're going to talk about before we finish, but let's just say now I want to try and out-eat Kobayashi and I'm on vacation. Is there a super mega premium Pepto-Bismol needed dining plan that you have? Do we have one of those?
Yes, we have the Disney's Deluxe Dining Plan.
This is the Pontecorvo dining plan because the boy likes to eat at good restaurants. So okay.
And this is a great plan for that because you really can. Every night you can eat Signature, and you're not going to be hungry on this dining plan. I'm going to tell you why. So what's different about this dining plan? So you're getting those 3 any-use meal credits, which can be used for table service or quick service. But what makes the meal credits different on the deluxe dining plan is anywhere that you go and eat at a, either resort restaurant or a table service or Disney Springs or in the parks, if it's a order off the menu and they have appetizers are included with the Disney dining plan on top of dessert. So you're getting your 3 courses there. So you're getting appetizer, entree, and dessert with each of those meals. But this is going to be great. This plan is going to be great for people that are wanting to, like, let's take honeymoon couples or anniversary couples that want to go and they want to do California Grill and Narcoossee's at Grand Floridian, or they want to go over and they want to do GECO at Animal Kingdom Lodge, or, if they want to do, just wherever inside the parks, they're going to eat those nicer meals. This is great for them because you're going to be able to reserve those experiences. things like, and I didn't mention this when it just completely popped my mind, but like take Cinderella's Royal Table, for instance. That is a highly coveted reservation because you're eating in, you're dining in Cinderella's castle. That's 2 table service credits. Hmm. So this is a good plan for that. And it does, the price does go up, another $25. Or actually, I'm sorry, $25, just about, from the Disney Dining Plan Plus. So you're looking at that for adults. It's $119 per adult, but you're getting 3 meal credits and you're getting 2 snack credits per day, per person per day on that plan. But yeah,
and everyone's got appetizers as well in that meal.
Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing that you need to, I think people don't look at this the way that I quite look at it. Okay. You're paying almost that price. You're paying to get into the park all day, right? Well, I don't enjoy roller coasters. I don't enjoy a lot of the attractions, right? So my attraction would be the restaurants. My attraction would be dining. And for a lot of people out there, that's the case. They love the parks. They love the ambiance. They love going there and spending time with family. But these meals are the best part to them of the vacation. Sure. It's the ability for them to try things they've never tried. It's the ability for them to sit down with family and have discussions that maybe they haven't had a chance to sit around a table in their normal life for, 6 months since their last vacation. These sit down meals are well worth the cost when you look at it that way. And if we're talking, I'm going to pay $115 to get into Magic Kingdom for a day, why wouldn't I pay $119 to eat for the day? If that's basically, and when we were talking about this, if it is the case to where you're dining outside of the parks, then you don't even have to worry about that base ticket issue with that, right?
Disney Springs, think about that. I mean, you've got how many signature table service restaurants there at Disney Springs, and you don't even have to step foot in the park.
Well, absolutely. Michael, to parlay that, if you look at what this offers you, you get to dine at one of the finest restaurants that Walt Disney World can offer, even an entertaining show, and you have another really killer meal too, because there's 3 credits. So you're going to eat at Cape May and California Grill on the same day. That's almost like, I'm going to regret saying this, it's like a food paradise. You know what I mean? Like how could you, if you are a foodie, that's wonderful. And you got your appetizers and stuff involved. So let's talk about hacks to this. Like you mentioned, it seems like if you haven't ever participated in the dining plan, I'm raising my hand. A best way or a good way to experience this is book that split stay. Book a 2-day, 3-day option. So you're not trying to game the system, but like you don't want to spend, $1,700 on food, but you can spend $600 or $500 for those 2 or 3 days, and you're going to get all those allotment of points and snacks and the cup. That sounds like a really good way to do this. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
Yeah, you're squeezing that extra day out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The lunch and dinner. If you're flying out at 6 in the morning, you're like, great, I just threw that day away, because we fly out early. There you go.
Right. Mm-hmm. So just and I did say, so even though we stayed 2 separate days at All-Star Movies, we had separate reservation numbers for those 2 nights, actually, because I booked an annual pass holder discount for one of the nights, and I booked a regular package room for my wife and kids because I had an annual pass. My wife and kids didn't, so I did a package for them. And the one night that we were all 4 on the reservation, where we're listed instead of me being a day guest, and that's a different discussion, that's when we did the deluxe dining plan. So we only bought it for 1 day. We added it. So again, looking at $119 per adult, so there was, that's $240 plus the both of my children got it because they were both between ages 3 and 9. So then you're adding another $100. So $340 for that dining plan for 1 day. But what it did is it gave us 3 table service credits per day. So we had 12 table service credits between all of us. So what we did is we actually went and we had a lunch at Yak and Yeti, but we shared table service credits. And that's another thing you can do. You know, we did not want to eat a lot. because we knew that night we were going to be using those table service credits over at Storybook Dining at Artist Point for the new Snow White and Seven, you know, that dinner. So we did that. The next morning we went into the Magic Kingdom, and because we had used two table service credits at Yak and Yeti, we actually redeemed two credits at Be Our Guest Breakfast. So we shared two credits there, because that restaurant offers you pastry baskets. So even as quick service, we still used our credits there. And then later on in that day, we used the remainder of our credits at Ohana Dinner.
Yeah, so we and that's a
those meals.
Yeah, and we used to find, when we did the dining plan and we were there on vacation, this is when we lived in Ohio, we used to have a pizza party like the last night before we left, or at some point near the end, we would have a pizza party, and me and my wife, because you could get a pizza for two table service, but that pizza also comes with, it would usually come with like a salad and then the drink as well, or the dessert and the drink, I'm sorry. So we would have the pizza, two desserts, two drinks, and then my son would get, like, we would get a pasta. And so he would get the pasta with the breadstick and then, you know, his dessert and drink. And we would go back to the resort room and we would have like a pizza party where we'd all share the pizza, the pasta, the desserts. And it was just all, I was only on three, you know, table credits or quick service.
Gotcha.
Credits. So that's kind that's of a awesome. Way at the end that we would do to, and then if you got to that point to where you did have snacks left over, you could kind of get you a couple more desserts or whatever you wanted to do, right, just to kind of veg out and enjoy it. But we had fun doing that. And it was just always nice to know that because the vacation was coming to an end, we would still enjoy that part.
That sounds like a really nice plan. What incredible. Is Michael and Jesse, what is the largest amount of credits that someone's redeemed for snacks on the way home? What is the largest amount of snacks you've ever imported with you guys back? Because I've seen the guy check out, right? I'm in the shop, I'm buying some last minute souvenirs, and he's grabbing stuff by the armload, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, he's got credit. He got 38 credits remaining. So what have you personally taken home from a trip like this?
We had 15 snack credits to redeem on our trip home.
Wow.
The day of. And again, you know, because if you think about it, it's like you have this idea that you're going to use that snack and you're like, I'm not hungry right now, so I'm not going to go do it. So, you know, we made a mad dash for Goofy's Candy Company in Disney Springs and, you know, just loaded up on Rice Krispie treats.
Nice.
And, you know, bags of candy. But, you know, yeah, it's a lot.
And speaking for all three of us again, you know, all three of us being big guys, you're like, oh yeah, I could finish off that snack pretty quickly. And that, like, I'm not like saying, oh, like Disney's so good at this, but the average size of a Disney snack is like way more than one serving size. So if we were going to Goofy's Candy Company and we were to get a crispy treat or an ear sliced, like that ear is like three people. And if you're like, no, I can finish that. It's like, you shouldn't be finishing that ear by yourself. Like your health, your doctor says, don't do that, you know? So I get that completely.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
And a lot of times I would use my snack for breakfast. I would do biscuits and gravy or that cinnamon roll, whatever that is. Yeah. Because then if you use the snack for breakfast, then you have all three of your meals covered. I've seen some crazy amount of people working as a cast member in a quick service location. I've seen, number one, some crazy uses of snack credits. If people using them for bananas, please don't use a snack credit.
Don't true. Do that. No, true. No.
I'm like, it drives me nuts. But then also at the end, like you were saying, Chris, the people who would come up and they would just take this. They'd be like, we have 25 snack credits. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And so that's just the kind of the way it goes. And then also they would turn their table service into three snack credits. I don't know if you can do that anymore, but you used to be able to do that. So then they would have table service meals left over and they'd be like, okay, I want three bananas for this table service. But
Jesse, can you redeem a snack credit? Like, I've seen people do this for like a bottle of pop or a bottle of water. Can you redeem it for a bottle of something like that? Not that you'd want to, but could you do that?
Yes, you can. And again, definitely not a recommended snack credit.
I remember this, you know, at the Grand Californian. I remember my one stay at the Grand Californian. my lasting memory is a person coming in with their luggage, emptying clothes out to put in snacks and bottled water, while their plan, as I overheard it, was they were going to leave some of the clothes because they wanted to take the stuff home. And I thought, wait a minute, hang on. You're importing bottle. You're importing Dasani water, which goes for $4.99 for a 24-pack. And I was like, starting to scratch. Like, this is not right. This is, okay, it's yours.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. Let me get your recommendation. Give me two, what you would consider... two buffets, not signature dining. Where are your two favorites? Could be in park or out of park, Jesse.
Wow. Okay. I think a go-to for us and my family, we love Chef Mickey's at the Contemporary Resort. We just feel like that is one of the best character interactions that you can do on the Disney Dining Plan, or even if you're not on the Disney Dining Plan. But we love the food there on the buffet. I mean, look, you know, it's not gonna, you know, you could probably find better food in the park at different restaurants, but the buffet food is good. It really is.
Okay.
Secondly, so another one, I would say probably for buffet meal, Boma at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Okay.
Is very good.
Hard to argue with that. I know Michael's had mixed experiences there at Boma. Michael, what about you? Give me two buffets that you would, or two table service options that wouldn't be signature dining. What are your two favorites, buddy?
For experience, I really enjoyed, I've enjoyed Chef Mickey anytime we've gone. I think that for the experience, for the just the joy on the people around his face. I've done it with extended family, which is our family. And it seems every time everybody has such a good time.
The joy on the face. That's a great word. That's what it brings for everybody. You know, when that kid sees Mickey or Goofy for the first time, I don't even know who that kid is, but it's like, I got a tear because it's like, that was what that kid really like imagined in this trip. And it's right there in front of him now. So great point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gives me an excuse. A lot of times I'm a little uptight, to be honest, but when I'm at Disney, the anxiety kind of goes away a little bit in certain circumstances. And at Chef Mickey, it seems to really go away. I don't know why. I think it's because you see a lot of the other adults acting the same way. And you're like, okay, I can swing the towel around. I can do whatever.
I was just going to do that. I was going to swing the towel. Okay.
And it kind of gives you that excuse. And it's just, it's nice. And I do enjoy the food, like Jesse said. I mean, I don't know. People knock it, but I enjoy the food there a lot.
Yes.
And then another one, I really liked Akershus the few times I went.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay. There was something about that I enjoyed as well. I think it's the atmosphere. You feel like, you know, you're in a castle. You got the princesses going around. Kind of the same feeling as Chef Mickey.
Okay. Both of you guys, give me one snack and one quick service option that would be your go-to. Jesse, give me a quick service and then one snack.
Quick service, the Polite Pig at Disney Springs. Easily one of the very best uses of your dining plan credit. I love the coffee rubbed brisket there that they serve, but they also do short rib. You get that, two sides, and you can get a beverage if you'd like. They have a tap. And I think, Michael, you might know this since your area. That's the sister restaurant of the Ravenous Pig, I believe, that's out of Orlando as well.
I'm not sure
if you're familiar with it or not. It's a wonderful restaurant, and I think it's one of the very best uses. I think my out-of-pocket cost would have been $36 on the meal alone, and I used a quick service credit for it.
And you come from barbecue country, Jesse, too. I mean,
right.
Okay.
It's different. Snack credit.
Mm-hmm.
This one's like the, you know, I always say, how do you pick a favorite? I can give you favorites by park, but if I had to say an overall favorite use of a snack credit, I would go, I really, 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 really love the Dole Whip floats. So that's me.
Okay.
Love Dole Whip.
Okay, Dole Whip float.
I get that.
Michael, snack and quick service. Where are we going for lunch tomorrow?
Quick service, I would have to go with Sasagula Floatworks.
Okay.
Just because, obviously. And their dinners, I have to tell you, I mean, you got ribs, you got fried chicken. They pile up the sides on there for you. It is fantastic. So I think there's a great value there. They have the po' boys during the day. You can get your beignets for dessert. It's, you know, there's about everything there. And then I like the cinnamon roll at Gaston's.
Yes, yes, that's good.
It's a great option. Michael, didn't you work there? Yeah. Going back to your old haunt?
Yeah, that's what I said. I have a lot of more insights in there.
Going back to your old work haunt. All right. That sounds awesome. Jesse, if someone – last question I have for you. Now, you know me. I'm not a planner.
Sure.
I don't enjoy making reservations. I simply walk. On that day, I'll flip open my My Disney Experience, and I'll see what's open. I'll be like, oh, that's good. And some of my best like experiences have been just stumble upon them. So – but like if you weren't a planner – This dining plan, it doesn't make a lot of sense unless you've got a travel agent working for you, because you really need to maximize your dollar here. You know, the way that I plan vacations, I don't know, man. You know, I mean, I'm going to have to put some forethought into this, correct? You recommend a travel agent for this, or being an exceptional planner, right, buddy?
Yes, I definitely, just because I feel like, you know, you're going to want to know those insider tips, things like, for instance, did you know that, you know, you can actually book certain dining packages that you would pay a special premium for out of pocket? You can use table service credits for instance, over at Hollywood Studios, you can do the Fantasmic dining package, which gives you VIP seating at the nighttime show. They have the package available at Mama Melrose Restaurant or Hollywood and Vine, which is another character buffet meal. You can dine breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And then you get VIP seating for the nighttime show. They do the same thing at, you know, in Magic Kingdom with Tony's Town Square for the Festival of Fantasy Parade. And you've got some packages like that over at Animal Kingdom. But it's things like that knowing. But if you even, let's say that you decided you're going to book a last minute trip and go next week. Now, we all know that we can't go next week, sadly. But if we did and it was open, what I would tell you is that, you know, you could still, you know, still come to me. I could help get that, you know, go to somebody, you know, even if it's not me, because there's a bunch of wonderful travel agents out there that are going to be able to help you and do it for free. And they're going to be able to look at it and say, this is where you need to go. This is what you need to use your table service credits for. Are you going to be able to get those most coveted dining experiences? Maybe not, you know, depending on when you go. Ohana's never going to have an opening, you know, if you haven't booked it 180 days in advance.
Gotcha.
That's not always the case. Or your travel agent can help you with that. Or if you're an extreme advanced planner, you know, and you join one of the many great Disney sites out there, or Disney fan sites like Edcot, and ask those questions of other people that are in the parks. But that's what I did before I became a travel agent, before I did this. My love of Disney brought me to these groups to learn all this. It's knowledge that I've learned over time, and then, you know, I get to share with other people and love doing it.
Gotcha. Is it as easy as Jesse, as me saying to you, okay, I'm going to book a 7-day trip with you. I'm going to stay at wherever. I'm going to stay at Coronado Springs. On Monday, I'm going to visit Magic Kingdom. On Thursday, I'm going to visit Hollywood Studios, and I want to eat at these 5 restaurants. And then I turn over the list to you, and then you bring it back to me and say, great, I got you. Here's your week. Is that what it pretty much amounts to?
Right. Yes. So I can tell you this. I've had very few clients that weren't able to get 100% of everything they've wanted. And even some last minute trips, just because one of the things, you know, that I can do is I can monitor and I know when to look for reservations opening up. What you'll see, and this is a tip for anybody booking dining, is that, you know, usually if you're looking for that hard to get reservation, you know, even all the way up until the day you arrive, people will hold reservations up until 24 hours to cancel that reservation. So even if you're on your trip and you didn't get that dining reservation to Ohana, check the day before. Check the day before, because those reservations are going to drop. They're going to open up. And I've had clients at Walt Disney World, and I've been able to monitor here on my computer and see that those reservations open up. And I text them and say, hey, I just got you Ohana for tomorrow night. So that's another thing that I can do instead of you having to worry about that in the park. And again, other travel agents, not just me, most of them you're going to talk to are going to be able to offer that type of service. So,
gotcha.
I'd say travel agents who specialize in Disney. You know, I don't know that every travel agent would, but, you know, we've got some great ones in the Edcot community. You know, Amy Jo, you know, she's great. So.
Yeah. But, you know, Jesse, it's like anything. Not all travel agents are equal. You know what I mean? And you have some really good dedicated agents, and you got some agents that, you know, are not long for the business because they're not working in their client's best interest. Or, you know, I've talked to some close friends that have booked with other agents before in years past. And it's like, yeah, I felt like I planned most of the trip myself, you know, I really did was they earned percentage on me and I still did most of the work. So, if someone wanted to contact you, though, if someone felt like, you know what, I want to work with Jesse, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. The best way to get a hold of me, you can reach out to me directly on Facebook, Jesse Fouts. I've got a business page. Very easy to remember if you're looking up on Facebook. It's Jesse's Disney Travel, and there's no apostrophe, but it's Jesse, J-E-S-S-E-S, Disney Travel. So you could look at me, reach out. I'm usually always available, and I, you know, all hours. So
okay.
Even at night, I've even booked trips at midnight before. So,
and your Facebook group that you have, because you not only do Disney, you do Universal as well too. And I know Michael's a big lover of Universal, and you know, the kids during this confinement, before they closed our branch of the public library, they told us we're going to be closed starting X date, and if you want to rent any movies, there'll be no late fees. So, of course, it was like crazy mad dash to the library to get all these movies. So I have all these Harry Potter movies, and the kids are all watching them. So, like, that's on their list. It's like almost like elevated itself above Disney right now. They want to go visit the Wizarding World. So that's a great resource. What is you have a Facebook group. You started off. What is it called?
Yes.
And tell me about that.
So the name of the Facebook group is From Disney World to Wizarding World. And really, the inspiration behind that is me and about five other travel agents that work with Marvelous Mouse Travels. We all met on one of our Disney training trips that we did back this last October, and I got to talking. And, you know, one of the things I've always been is I like multiple things. I'm not just a loyalist to one or the other. And I know you could compare Disney Universal. I love them both. Both are two separate experiences. They do things totally different. But I love them both for different reasons. And I happen to be a huge Harry Potter nerd. I love Harry Potter. So the Wizarding World over at Universal is spectacular. But we wanted to start this group to draw in people that were, you know, that wanted to do, you know, that are interested in both destinations. And so we feature Disney and something in a post here, and then Universal in the next post. So we do things like trivia, you know, for Harry Potter on Tuesdays. We do it, you know, try to do a hard Harry Potter question for trivia, you know. But we wanted it to be a group where you could learn tips about both, because one of the things I've seen in recent is a lot of people are planning not just dedicated trips to Disney or dedicated trips to Universal. They're doing split stays, and they're going to Disney for a couple of days, and they're going to Universal for a couple of days. So why not, you know, like, have a place where people can come and talk about both, and not be ridiculed if you like one or another. But I do have fun with this, because I like to also do comparisons on what Disney does and what Universal does. So sometimes I'll ask who does the better.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, Disney Fast Pass versus Universal Express Pass. And it's neat because you have people that all different opinions, and there's nobody right or wrong. It's just, what do you think?
Gotcha.
It's neat to have that type of a comparison. But yeah, we would love to have you, you know, come check out the group and be a part. You know, it's more or less, and don't feel like you're going to get hounded by travel agents. That's not the intention of
no,
the group at all.
I haven't seen that at all. Yeah. I know it's sponsored by your agency. What I enjoy upon just scrolling through the posts, and you know, what I don't enjoy in a lot of groups is when groups get to be 10, 12, 15, 30, 50,000 people big, it's impossible to police and it's impossible to control. And so you're going to have a number of posts every day where you just simply just get through. And it's like, oh gosh, did I really want to see that in my group? And it's not drama, but it's honestly, it's garbage, you know, and I don't see that in your group, and it's fun and it's enjoyable and it's drama free. So that's what I like most about that. And yeah, you got agents. Yeah. Of course you do. I got news for you. You know, in EDCOT, some of the agents are some of my best friends, you know what I mean? And some of the guys I would go to with, you know what though? I love them all. And they're all different companies and they're all great people. But doesn't mean that there's a constant stream of agents. There isn't. You know, we've got a bunch of podcasters, a bunch of agents, a bunch of YouTubers, a bunch of everything. There's no drama in us. There's no drama in yours as well. So
Absolutely. It's just the love for it. Especially with EDCOT, you know, we love Disney. That's my love ultimately. If I stop being a travel agent, it has nothing to do with my love of Disney. I think it's my love of Disney that makes me love doing what I do as a travel agent. Not being, travel agent is not my full-time job, which makes it even better, because it's like, I get to do this because I want to do this, not because I'm doing it to substantiate my lifestyle or to keep up my income. So yeah, I love it. It's great.
Okay. So I'm going to let you get back to your day here. As I sit here and I'm looking at you and Michael, I realize one thing. I need to grow a beard. I need to get me a beard here.
Definitely.
These are some hairy gentlemen I'm on the phone with here. Anyways, for my buddy Michael and for my buddy Jesse, I'd like to thank you for downloading. If you have any questions, seek Jesse out, FOUTZ. If you caught his last name and thought it was an S, like the quarterback, it's not. It's a Z, so it's Jesse Fouts. Yep. Find him on his Facebook group. Find him on his travel agent page. Find him in our listener group, which is EDCOT. So for my buddy Michael, for my buddy Jesse, I'd like to wish you a great day.
Bye. Take care.
Catch you on the flippity-flop.